The ladies singing was just phenomenal. I've heard them now a couple times. It's a brand new group, but I love that last song. Aren't you glad that there's grace no matter what we go through? And that grace is amazing grace. And that's grace that it'll get you through the darkest hour. And it'll just keep you going. And I'm so glad we're not in this thing on our own strength, but we're in it because of His strength and because of His power, we can go on. Hebrews chapter 11, there are some amazing Bible characters that are mentioned and referred to in this Hall of Faith chapter. As I began to read, I thought that maybe this chapter would talk about the great accomplishments of these people. And in a few cases, it does talk about the great deeds or the great acts or the great accomplishments of these men and women of God. But I was amazed when I got to verse number 23 and began to read about Moses. I would have thought that God would have talked a lot about the parting of the Red Sea. I would have thought that God would have really dwelt on the 10 plagues there in Egypt. I would have thought maybe the manna falling down from heaven in the wilderness, maybe the water from the rock, maybe the quail, some of the great deeds that we know of Moses. But I was very surprised when I began to read Hebrews 11 and study the life of Moses that God doesn't have a lot to say about what he did as much as he does have a lot to say about a decision that Moses made. And how fitting is that? Because it's our decisions that shape our lives. Perhaps the greatest decision that you made, and the reason you're here today, perhaps it was made as a child. Or maybe it was made in your teen years, or maybe your early adult years. Of course, a decision to get saved, that's a decision that changes your eternity. A decision to live for God, a decision to follow God's leading in your life. But those are so important. And I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning, not necessarily about Moses' choice, although we'll look at that. We're not here to talk about your pastor's choice to serve God, although I thank God for that choice. These ladies have made the choice to follow God and try to seek God's will for their lives. But you know, at the end of the day, nobody else can make the choice for you. Nobody else can make the choice for me. It's a choice that we must make for ourselves. As a boy, I remember on Sunday afternoons, of course, there are two priorities on Sunday afternoon. Well, three priorities. Lunch, that's a given. That's a priority every afternoon. But then Sunday afternoons, there's the nap priority. And I'm thinking on Time Change Sunday, most of us will probably need a nap. And we have an hour and a half drive down the road. And I usually get my best sleep while I'm driving. So I'm planning on about an hour and a half this afternoon. And the ladies probably won't sleep, but I'll get good sleep. But then on Sunday afternoons, all good Christians know, during football season, you got to catch at least a little bit of football on Sunday afternoons. And my dad and I, we'd watch some football, and this was back when I was a kid, so I haven't seen this in years and years, but they would have this during the game. They'd come on with a referee, would come on, and they would show you a play, and they'd show you the different angles of the play, and they'd show it in slow motion. And then they would say, "Now you make the call." And they would basically kind of be putting it up to you and your choice of, was this the right call, or was it a touchdown, or was it an incompletion, or was it a fumble? And they would always say, "You make the call." And you know, in the Christian life, that's really what it boils down to. You have to make the call. If your pastor could make it for you, he probably would love to, but he can't. Young people, your parents are making choices for you now, but as we see, when Moses, when he was come to years, he had to make a choice. And this morning, it's your choice. I want to speak to you about the life of Moses and the simple subject this morning, it's your choice. Lord, speak to us, we pray. We need your power. Lord, I feel that you've already met with us. I feel that we've already been so blessed to be with your people, to hear the good music, to enjoy the fellowship. But Lord, now as we approach these next few moments, the preaching of your word, Lord, I pray that you would please step in. I pray that you would take over. I pray that you take control. I thank you for the privilege to stand behind this pulpit, this sacred desk. I thank you for Pastor Zavotsky and the dear people at Loomis Park Baptist Church. I pray that you'd bless them and use them. Please meet with us in these next few moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to notice quickly about Moses' choice and how we can make the applications in our lives concerning the choices that we make. I find, first of all, in this passage, it's found actually in verse 26, that when you make a choice, you have to, number one, weigh your options. That's common sense. If you have two choices, then you decide between those two. You have to pick. And when you make a decision, it's good to make an educated decision. I wouldn't recommend, if you're shopping or looking for an automobile, just to buy the first one you see. You want to do some homework on that. If you're buying a computer, you're going to do some homework and find out what is the best value, what is the best product, what has the best reviews. That's just common sense. We do that all the time. When I was a boy growing up, I'd go grocery shopping with my mom. Now, my mom was into extreme couponing before it was popular. This was back in the day when the checker would glare at you because you'd have a stack of coupons and you're pulling them out and it'd take forever. You know, they have to sometimes punch them all in. My mom had this little blue pouch that had all these coupons, you name it. She had a coupon for it. And on that little pouch, there was a little calculator. So she would go and she'd check out all the different products. And she would always try to get the very best value. The family of seven kids, you know, make sure that money stretches as far as it can. So we were good Christians growing up. I think some of you probably are also. But when we would go down the ketchup aisle, we always stopped at the ketchup aisle and we always got ketchup. Can I get a witness there? Any ketchup lovers in here? About eight of us. I know ranch dressing has taken over and some other things, barbecue sauce. We loved ketchup. I mean, maybe that's just made everything taste good. You know, when you don't have a lot of money, you just put ketchup on it. But we'd go to the ketchup aisle and we wouldn't mess with the little glass bottles that were, you know, 16 ounce or 20 ounce. We'd get the family size 64 ounce squeeze bottle. I mean, we got ketchup. We love ketchup. But I'll never forget my mom. She's punching it in and she's figuring out, is this one better? This amount of ketchup for this price or this amount of ketchup for this price? And she'd weigh her options. And you know, I wish in the Christian life, I wish we'd weigh our options. Before we make a decision to get out of church, to stop serving God, to come to pastor, and he hasn't told me this, so as far as I know, this hasn't happened, but, you know, pastor, I'm going to quit my Sunday school class. You know, pastor, I'm going to get out of the choir. You know, I wish we would weigh our options, and I wish we'd look down the road a little ways before we make such an important decision. Verse number 26, the Bible says, when Moses made his choice, it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. That word esteem, it means to place a high value on something. Moses, he had to weigh his options. Now, Moses had the very best that the world had to offer. He was in Egypt. He was called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had it going on. But Moses said, I would rather, verse number 25, I'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Pastor, I always read that wrong. I always thought it was, you know, heaven is so much better. And I, you know, when we get to heaven, it's going to be great. Moses said, I'd rather have the worst that God has to offer than the best that the world has to offer. And I tell you what, we've got it good as Christians. And sometimes we like to look over and think the pasture is greener on the other side of the fence. But I want to tell you, as God's people, we're so blessed. And yes, trials come. And yes, difficulties come. But I take God's grace any day. I take God's mercy and God's love and God's protection and God's blessing any day of the week than to live out in the world and to not know the peace, to not know the contentment, to not know where you're going to spend eternity. I'm telling you, we've got it good, but we first have to weigh our options. Moses weighed his options. Then I find in verse number 24, not only do you weigh your options, but number two, when you got two choices, you have to say no to one of the choices. Now, we like, as Christians, we sometimes like the best of both worlds, right? But Moses, number two, he said no, he withstood the opposition. It says in verse 24 that he refused. He said no, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, how many of you know that in the Christian life, there's some opposition? Have you ever experienced that? I'm telling you, there is some serious opposition. And for Moses, he had to say no to some friends. Don't you know in Egypt he had some close friends there in the palace? And don't you know that he had some family he had to say no to? But Moses refused. He said no to what the world had to offer. Moses said no to some friends. Moses said no to some family. And in the Christian life, we'll have to say no to some foes. We'll have to say no to some enemies. We have the world, the flesh and the devil that we battle all the time. And if we're going to be victorious, if we're going to make the right choice, we're going to have to learn to say no. Matthew 6:24, the Bible says, no man can serve two masters. You either hate the one and you love the other, or you hold to the one and you despise the other. But you can't serve God and mammon. You can't live for God and yourself. You can't live for God and the pleasures of this world. You got to choose. Moses said no. He, number one, weighed his options. Number two, he withstood the opposition. Number three, I find in this story about making choices. Number three, I find that not only did Moses weigh his options, not only did he withstand the opposition, but thirdly, I see, Moses wanted an opportunity. You see, he said no to the world, but this is so powerful. He said yes to God. And sometimes we don't go the final step and say yes to God. Sometimes we have a list. Well, as Christians, you know, we don't smoke and we don't drink and we don't do drugs and we don't live immoral and we don't do those things. And praise God, you shouldn't do those things. But sometimes as Christians, we think we're God's gift to mankind just because of what we don't do. But by the way, there are some cults that have rules like that. That doesn't make them good Christians. That doesn't make them pleasing in God's sight. That's just half the battle. But then you have to say yes to God. You have to be willing to say yes. Moses wanted an opportunity. Verse 25, it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses weighed his options. Moses withstood the opposition. He said no to this world. Moses, he knew that he had to reject the world in order to follow Christ. But then Moses, he wanted an opportunity. And you know, Moses had this, and we have this opportunity also. We have an opportunity to stand. Aren't you glad that we have an opportunity in 2013 to stand for God? And I'll tell you, it's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. You just mark it down. Jesus is coming. It could be today. But if it's not today, or if it's not tomorrow, or it's not next week, or next month, or next year, we better buckle our seatbelts. But what an opportunity. What an opportunity as Christians to let our light shine. To stand and be numbered with the cause of Christ. What a privilege we have. Moses wanted an opportunity. He said, I want to do something for God. I want to serve God. I want to stand for God. But Moses also wanted an opportunity to suffer for God. You see, when Moses said yes to God, when Moses said no to the world, he was signing up. He was enlisting for some suffering. And as Christians, if we're not careful, we get inundated with this. If you believe God, everything's going to be good. And if you follow God, you're going to be wealthy and prosperous. I want to tell you, I don't find that in this book here. I do find 2 Timothy 3, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so please don't come up to me afterwards and say, well, Jeremy, I'm not suffering persecution, because you're telling on yourself. Because the book says, if you live for Christ, you will suffer persecution. So maybe if we're not suffering any persecution, maybe we're not living for Christ like what we should. Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses wanted that opportunity to do something for God. It's like this. We're faced every day with a choice. And by the way, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you're faced with a choice. You're faced with a choice this morning. You can walk out these doors and reject Christ, or you can walk down an aisle, or you can find a pastor or find someone in this church who can show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. But those are your choices. Indecision is the wrong decision. You have to make the choice to accept Christ. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. But if you're here this morning and you are saved, you know the Lord is your Savior, you're faced with a choice every single day. You're faced with a choice to follow Christ or to live for this old world. And I want to tell you, there's a pull both ways. But I tell you, you can be victorious. I can be victorious over the old flesh if we'll walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Moses wanted that opportunity. sometimes, Pastor, I have found in dealing with young people, I was a youth pastor for 4 years. I've been a college teacher for 8 years. But I have found sometimes that we kind of hang in the balances. We don't really want to surrender. We don't really want to sell out, but we just kind of want to straddle the fence. When I was a boy, our family, we had some good friends, and this friend of ours, this man, I thought he was like the most important man in the world. I thought even the president probably had to call him, because this man owned a McDonald's restaurant. And when you're a boy, I mean, you're 5 or 6 or 7 years old. I mean, what could be better in life? I mean, how could you succeed any greater than to own a McDonald's restaurant? And we went to their house one time and we were getting ready to eat. He said, "Hey, you guys hungry?" And he's talking to me, and my sister's 2 years younger than I am. And he said, "Hey, you guys hungry?" And we're thinking, "Oh, yeah. Happy meals, cheeseburgers, french fries, bring it on." You know, this guy owns McDonald's. I mean, we're set. And then he goes over to the phone, and I'm thinking, "Oh, you know you're important when you can call McDonald's and they'll deliver it to your door. You know you're important." And he picks up the phone and he looks at us and he says, "Hey, Jeremy, hey, Julie, what do you like on your pizza?" I was like, "No, McDonald's does not sell pizza. I know that." And then I realized, oh, I guess if you own McDonald's, you don't eat there on your own, I guess. But he said, "What do you want on your pizza?" And we just kind of did this, the whole, whatever, it's up to you, whatever. You know, we kind of did that thing. Now, this was a very successful businessman. He put the phone down. He looked at us. I mean, I'm like 6 or 7 and my sister's 4 or 5. And he looks at us as intense as I'm looking at you. And he says, "You'll never be successful in life if you don't learn how to make a decision." Pepperoni, please. And I'm thinking, "Oh, yes, sir. Sorry. I'm a failure." But I'm telling you, preacher, I'm so glad he said that. I've never forgotten it. And you know what's so true in the Christian life? You'll never be successful till you learn how to make a decision. Because so many times the Holy Spirit's pricking. So many times God's speaking. So many times God's working. And we are tuning Him out. We're ignoring Him. We're putting Him on hold. We're leaving that email in the inbox and we're not dealing with it. I want to tell you, God's speaking. Moses, he weighed his options. He withstood the opposition. He said no to the world, but then he wanted an opportunity. He said yes. But the story doesn't end there. And this right here is probably where most of us are at right now this morning. Would you notice, please, in closing, verse 27. So Moses makes the decision. But have you ever made a decision and that's as far as it got? You make a decision and it's one of these days, or when I get around to it, or, eventually. Didn't stop there with Moses. Look at verse 27, please. So after he made this important choice to serve God, to say no to the world, then in verse number 27, it says, by faith, he forsook Egypt. Now, I'm not an English major, don't claim to be, but I know enough to know that that is an action verb, and I'm really going to step out on a limb, past tense action verb. I mean, like, he actually did it. He forsook. That means Moses didn't just stand up and announce, "Hello, folks, I have an announcement to make. I'm leaving Egypt." He didn't just announce it. He didn't just tell it to a few people. He didn't just make it in his heart and keep it quiet, but then he actually did something about it. That means he had to go pack his suitcase. That means he had to walk down the steps and walk out the front door of the palace, and he had to say, "Adios, see you later, alligator, after a while, crocodile, I'm out of here." And he forsook Egypt. Here it is. He not only made the right choice, but then he acted upon it. And our churches, folks, I'm telling you, our churches are full of folks that are wonderful people that have made some good choices, but it's time to act upon those decisions. It's not time to say, "One of these days I'll get involved. One of these days I'll go soul winning. One of these days I'll give. One of these days I'll help at the church." No, I want to tell you something. It's today. We have to act upon it because there may not be tomorrow. Moses made the right choice, but then he acted upon his decision. Number 4, he walked out. You see, he didn't just talk about it. He didn't just broadcast it. He didn't just, post it on his Facebook, status that "I'm going to do this." He actually left. He walked out of Egypt. And maybe for you this morning, maybe there is a decision that you made 20 years ago. Or maybe it's a decision you made a week ago, but you haven't acted upon it. Could I challenge you to act upon that decision? To not just say you're going to serve God, but to actually do it. Moses weighed his options. He withstood the opposition. He wanted an opportunity, but then number four, he walked out. And then I find in verse 27, it doesn't even end there. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Here it is. He makes the choice. I'm going to leave Egypt. He acts upon the choice and he starts leaving Egypt, and he gets down the road a day or a week or a month or a year or try 40 years and he stuck with his decision. He endured. He didn't quit. He didn't make the decision and then go back on it. He made the decision and he left Egypt never to return until God needed somebody to bring the rest of the crowd out of Egypt. And guess who he chose? The guy that had already made the decision for himself. The guy that had already acted upon the decision. And the guy that stuck with the decision. And he said, "Hey, Moses, I need somebody that will lead my people out of Egypt to the promised land." Ta-da! There you have Moses. He not only walked out, but I love this, number five, and I'm done. He walked on. He just kept on going. And maybe that's where you are this morning. Maybe you've made a good decision to serve God with your family, in your ministry. Maybe at the workplace, you've made a decision to take a stand and be a testimony. Praise God. But you got to keep going. And Moses walked out, but he kept walking on. He just kept keeping on. He just kept going. He just kept serving. He just kept praying. Just kept singing. Just kept loving God. He kept doing what he knew to do. And he just walked on. I tell you, Pastor, I was naive enough, I guess you could say, to believe. I thought that if you were in church for 20 or 25 years, I thought it was a done deal. I thought it's, how could you leave church after 20 years? I mean, seriously, how could you walk out of church after you've been in church your whole life and you've served God and been a Sunday school teacher or been a deacon? And again, Pastor hadn't told me this, but I just know every church in America, we see people that quit on God after being in church their whole life. How do you walk out on your family after however many years? How do you walk out on your kids? How do you quit on God? How do you do that after so long? I'll tell you how it happens, I believe. It's because somewhere along the way, you got away from that decision and you stopped walking on. You stopped reading your Bible. You stopped praying. And sooner or later, it's evidenced. Sooner or later, it's obvious to the world. People see it. But I want to tell you, none of us are exempt. We have to keep walking on day by day, sometimes hour by hour, sometimes minute by minute. But you just got to keep walking on. This morning, Moses made the right choice. Made the choice to leave Egypt. He made the choice to follow God, but then he acted upon it. And not only did he act upon it, but he stayed with it. And folks at Loomis Park Baptist Church, may this preacher this morning just encourage you just to keep on going. Just keep on serving him. You say, how do we do it? I'm glad you asked. Hebrews 12:1, right after the Hall of Faith chapter. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Here it is, verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him," there's that word again, "endured." Jesus didn't quit. Hey, Moses endured. Jesus endured for you and for me. And if Jesus could keep going and we're looking to him, that's the way that we can run our race. That's how we can make the choice. That's how we can act upon it. And that's how we can stick with it. Lord, I pray that you take